including Apple, Google, and iHeartRadio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Jackson Hewitt.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The abortion battle continues, and at least for the next few days, a common abortion pill will still be available in many states. CBS's Caitlin Huey Byrne.
The fate of mifepristone remains in limbo. The drug has been approved for use for over two decades and accounts for more than half of the abortions in the United States. It is also used to manage miscarriages. Legal experts say clarity from the high court is needed, or else access to the drug will depend on which state you live in.
The amount of confusion that this really potentially could bring to the whole country is fairly profound.
An Air National Guardsman who leaked top secret documents online had his first court appearance yesterday. He faced the judge in a khaki prison suit and shackles. CBS's Wendy Gillette.
Parents of the suspected leaker remain silent outside the Boston courthouse where 21-year-old Jack Teixeira was officially charged with violating the Espionage Act for removing and transmitting classified materials.
They have betrayed the confidence of their country. They have jeopardized U.S. national interests, and they've put lives at risk for their compatriots overseas.
He's back in court Wednesday. Someone threw an explosive device during a campaign event in a western port city of Japan. CBS's Jeff Glore with details.
Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida was safely evacuated. Police pinned a man to the ground who allegedly threw what appeared to be a smoke bomb towards the prime minister who was about to deliver his speech. The prime minister was unharmed. No one else was hurt either.
In France, they're raising the retirement age, and protesters aren't happy.
We know we don't have the power anymore. Nobody is listening to us. We're just going to remind Macron that this should be a democracy.
With summer getting closer and closer, gas prices are getting higher and higher. WTTV reporter Hannah Fullman.
Experts with Gas Buddies say there are several reasons. The first is something gas stations across the country are in the middle of, transitioning from a winter blend to a summer blend gasoline, which is required by the EPA. The other?
It's coming at the same time. Demand continues to go up for gasoline. Americans are getting outside. The weather is terrific. Demand pushes gas prices up.
Best Buy is cutting jobs. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The electronics and appliance retailer says it is shifting its business as more sales are occurring online rather than in actual stores. Hundreds of jobs could be eliminated at the more than 900 U.S. stores operated by Best Buy.
It's just the latest in the major layoffs this month at businesses including Redfin, Walmart, and McDonald's. This is CBS News.
Taxes are due. Have you filed yet? Don't worry. Jackson Hewitt is racking up the assists. They will get you filed or an extension before the deadline. Beat the crowds by going to Jackson Hewitt today.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
At Lowe's, we're always bringing pros more ways to save on the brands you trust. Right now, buy a DeWalt 20-volt Power Stack Max 2-pack battery for $199. Get a select DeWalt Bear tool free, with savings starting at $139. Plus, you'll always save big on job lot quantities when buying select building supplies in bulk. Because Lowe's knows savings, Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Lowe's reserves the right to limit quantities. Discount taken at time of purchase. Battery and charger not included with free items. Valid for 5-3.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly! your mower's battery weak or dead after winter storage? Get your mower ready for spring lawn maintenance at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, purchase any SuperStart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after rebate. Choose SuperStart batteries for power, performance, and reliability exclusively at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 7 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until 1 p.m. Monday. Cloudy skies this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. High of 79, southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely 45. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 62.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Radio. You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
Welcome. Grab your favorite morning beverage and join us for Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother.
Sampling the news desserts of the week, here is your host, Jim Santel.
Good morning. It is Saturday, April 15th, 2023. This is our 43rd broadcast since going on the air here on the networks of Civic Media here in Waukesha and throughout the state of Wisconsin. Delighted to be with you once again on this wonderful Saturday morning in Wisconsin for this broadcast of Morning Cannolis, again, a production of Civic Media. This is our weekly review, our analysis, and our discussion of those very most important news stories that happen every week. They happen in law, in government, and in the aspiration for justice in America, which we all want to pursue. We're coming to you again from the studios of WAUK Radio, but broadcasting throughout our state. And I'm joined in the studio this morning by my ever faithful and wonderful producer, Anya. And together we're going to be talking with you this morning once again about the significant stories in our lives and our livelihoods from this past week, and also looking forward to the future. We have a very special program with you and for you today, and that is because we're going to be reinitiating a program, an initiative, a segment that we began about a couple of weeks ago called Undiscovered Justice. We're going to be highlighting something in our lives, something that's happening at the time of our broadcast, before or after, that also reveals something significant about the rule of law, sometimes government, sometimes about the way in which we respond. A couple of weeks ago, we talked at great length about what was going on in Israel and continues to go on in Israel in connection with opposition, strong opposition, opposition that shut down the nation when the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced some very serious reductions, some diminutions, some attacks upon the independence of the Iraqi judiciary. The people in Israel, millions of them, took to the streets, shut down commerce, shut down education, shut down medical services to protest their view that what the government of Benjamin Netanyahu was doing was contrary to the best interests of the nation, contrary to the fundamental notions that animate all good republics, that is the rule of law and an independent judiciary that is not beholden and subject to the oversight and limitations imposed by another branch. Instead, balances and checks, as we always think about them under our own Constitution. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about something both in the past and in the immediate present, and that is matters going on with respect to our sick population in Wisconsin, throughout the nation, and also throughout the world, because yesterday, Friday, April 14th, was Vaisakhi. I'm going to talk about the reasons why that's so very significant here in Wisconsin and throughout our world. Talk a little bit about where that holiday comes from, why it's meaningful, both spiritually and religiously for members of our sick communities, but also talk about the celebration and the good things that the Sikh community here in Wisconsin and throughout our nation have done, even in the wake of the horrific tragedy of August 5th, 2012, that claimed the lives of seven of our fellow men and women and that injured many, many beyond that. We're going to talk a little bit about that story too, but mostly a celebration of Vaisakhi as a portion of our salute to justice and undiscovered stories out there. As always, we're also going to attack and undertake an analysis of those other big stories. That includes, of course, some updates from just last week, the fallout, the litigation fallout, what followed the arraignment of the first president in our history to be indicted criminally by any jurisdiction. This one, of course, coming out of Manhattan, the DA Alvin Bragg there charging the former president Donald Trump with violations of financial laws, specifically related to tax and also election matters and bringing those misdemeanors into the felony world. We talked about that at great length last week and the consequences of that particular indictment returned by a grand jury in Manhattan. Talked about the likely passage of time, what's going to happen in the next weeks and months and maybe even years as that matter goes forward. This week, I'm going to talk with you about four different matters, at least two of which derive directly from that big news item from last week, also involving Donald Trump, also involving this particular allegation, this package of allegations against him for fraud, a couple of other lawsuits that are not directly related to that, but also have to do with our former president and the civil involvement that he also has in many cases throughout our nation. Needless to say, we're going to pick up and do some updates as well in the area of mifepristone, this drug that has been the subject of both decisions by two federal courts in the Eastern District of Washington and the Northern District of Texas, by a major ruling that followed those initial trial court rulings coming out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and then just late yesterday afternoon, some major decision by the United States Supreme Court and Justice Alito in particular that puts all of that on hold, at least for a time. We're going to talk about that, the reason why that particular action by our highest court is very important and what we can likewise anticipate in the future. Finally, in our second hour, also talking about the announcement just this past week, including the arraignment of Thursday of this past week of Jack Teixeira, who is this young man who is charged by the federal government with having violated our national security laws in releasing online information, documents, information that's related to the war in Ukraine, and effectively, according to many people, compromising some information, some secrets that should not have been out in the public domain with respect to the war effort there, the connections between our nation and the nation of Ukraine. He has now been charged. We'll talk about what he's been charged with, what we can anticipate there. And finally, we've also got a big lawsuit starting next week. This is the Dominion's voting machines case against Fox News, talking about some specific things that the judge who's presiding over that case announced just this past week. They're going to have an impact upon the trial beginning in a couple of short days. And then we'll talk more generally about what the nature of that case, that trial, is going to be all about, invoking once again the notion of actual malice, which is the keystone. It's sort of the signal information piece given to the jury that for their determination about whether or not Fox acted with actual malice, a phrase coming from New York Times versus Sullivan, this major case in the area of First Amendment rights. We'll talk about what that means and what all of that portends for that Fox and Dominion news case coming up this coming week. And beyond, quite certainly as well. To begin, however, let's talk again about undiscovered justice. Undiscovered justice. We all recall well that on August 5th of 2012, a mass shooting took place at the Gurdwara, the Sikh temple. The Gurdwara is the name of the religious location, the place of worship for members of the Sikh faith. This happened in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, right down the street from where at that time I was serving as the U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Wisconsin. A 40-year-old shooter attacked the sick population there in Oak Creek. He shot many, many people. He shot seven people altogether. Six died immediately. A seventh died a couple of years after that of injuries, undeniably, as a result of that particular shooting. And we know that in the wake of that shooting, the shooter himself committed suicide in the parking lot of that Gurdwara in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Undeniably, as a result of the investigation that followed, we learned that shooter was an American white supremacist, an Army veteran who came from Cudahy, Wisconsin, and a person who is probably his perfect cocktail, if you will, of someone who has been on the outs, if you will, from the major institutions and support mechanisms of all of our lives. His family had put him behind them. He had recently broken up with a girlfriend here in the greater Milwaukee area. The association, this white supremacist association, which was embracing him and with which he claimed alliance, came to him and basically disowned him. So all of his support mechanisms falling away, and that in combination with this fundamental view that he undeniably had that the other, people who do not look like him, people who do not act like him perhaps, and perhaps worship in a way that's different from him, that somehow those people are standing in the way of your success, your movement forward, a completely unfounded and condemnable position in life. He takes a gun and he goes into that Gurdwara on a bright Sunday morning, August 5th, 2012, and wreaks havoc. He engages also in some fights with people in the parking lot, probably almost certainly the leader, the president of the Gurdwara at the time, Satman Singh Kaleka. His sons go on to be advocates not only for anti-violence initiatives, but also for a greater understanding of the Sikh faith generally. And so it was in that setting that I first became intimately aware of and began a wonderful association that continues to this very time with the great Sikh faiths of our nation and our state. There's a Gurdwara, again, not only in Oak Creek, but also in Brookfield, where I live, and I have been greatly honored to be a part of their community, sharing in some of their events, and certainly sharing in the celebration of Vaisakhi, which, again, technically, and in terms of calendar dates, celebrated yesterday on the 14th, typically on the 13th or 14th of April of every year. This Sunday, the Gurdwaras around our world are going to be celebrating Vaisakhi as this major holiday in the history and the lifeblood of the Sikh faith. And so at the Oak Creek Gurdwara, at the Brookfield Gurdwara, all of the Gurdwaras throughout the nation, a time of community, of coming together to talk about the reason for community and the notion that even in the wake of this horrific disaster of many years ago, we should not only learn from it, never forget it, never put it behind us completely, but embrace the humanity that the Sikh community embraced immediately, even in the midst of this great tragedy. So let's talk a little bit about what Vaisakhi is. Vaisakhi, often spelled V-A-I-S-A-K-H-I, sometimes with a B instead of a V, depending upon the translation, one of the most significant, widely observed annual celebrations for Sikhs, S-I-K-H-S, adherence to Sikhism, the fifth largest major world religion, fifth largest on the face of our planet, Sikhism. Sikhism today is, again, our major religion in our nation, too. And 300 years ago, this was a pivotal time in the development of the Sikh faith as well. That's when they honored this pivotal moment in the evolution of the religion, when the 10th in line of the gurus, or the spiritual leaders, unified the Sikhs and formally brought to fruition and articulation many aspects of that faith. Many people say in the wake of that Vaisakhi, this celebration, presents an opportunity to reflect on the journey as a Sikh and to reaffirm commitments to the values that we all hold dear. When we come back, more about Vaisakhi, Sikhism, as a part of our celebration of undiscovered justice here on Morning Cannolis.
Before New Cascade Platinum Plus, I would pre-rinse all my dishes because my old detergent just wouldn't get them clean. But now,
I do dishes differently. A no pre-wash, no rewash, money-back guaranteed kind of different. Because Cascade Platinum Plus has double the grease-fighting power of Dawn built right in, with twice the scrubbing power, giving me a clean that lets me break all the dish rules. I just scrape, load, and I'm done. Yep. So clean. With Cascade Platinum Plus, I dare to dish differently.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Better days are coming. It's called Saturday and Sunday at Jammer's Bar and Grill. On the weekend, kick back with the Jammer's 5 Beer Bucket Special. Any domestic beer you want, mix and match, $10. Jammer's is the best in burgers, sandwiches, and apps. Don't forget Jammer's is the spot for fun, and they have plenty of room for your next party. That's Jammer's Bar and Grill, 2810 Eagle Road, Wisconsin Rapids.
What is a Moravian? Someone who seeks to love God through Jesus Christ and love others. Someone who tries to live out their faith every day. At the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, our mission is sharing Christ, serving others. One of the ways we are serving is to provide a place for the Wisconsin Rapids Winter's Farmers Market, a weekly celebration of crafts, treats, and amazing people brought together to share their handiwork and passions with you each Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. through April 29th. We invite you to come check it out. All are welcome.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
64 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to this, our second segment in this special production, this special episode of Morning Cannolis. Thank you once again for joining me on this Saturday morning. We're talking this morning to begin our discussion about Vaisakhi, this major holiday being observed yesterday and today and tomorrow by Sikhs nationwide and certainly right here in the state of Wisconsin. When is Vaisakhi? Again, traditionally, it is the 13th or 14th of April. Typically marks the first month of the Sikh calendar. And again, this year happens to fall on a Friday yesterday. But again, this weekend, Sikh congregations throughout the world going to be celebrating, commemorating Vaisakhi on Sunday. Bills introduced in Congress to designate April 14th as National Sikh Day to honor and celebrate the important role played by the Sikh community in the United States historically and to this time. Very traditional to say Happy Vaisakhi. Which means best wishes, of course, to members of the Sikh faith and to all of us. What is the history of Vaisakhi? Where does this come from and why is it this major holiday in the lives of our Sikh colleagues and friends, men and women, boys and girls? Well, in 1469, way back in 1469, middle of the 15th century, a small boy named Nanak was born in the Punjab region of South Asia, where the predominant religions at that time were Islam and Hinduism. Nanak founded a new and independent religion, Sikhi or Sikhism, and became the first guru, the first leader of this new faith that he was founding. 1699, a couple of centuries later, as again I made reference to this before the break, another guru, another one of the leaders in the long history of Sikhism, Guru Gobind Singh, chose the harvest festival of Vaisakhi to start what is known as the Khalsa. The Khalsa, K-H-A-L-S-I-A. It's the notion that Sikhs come together around certain principles common of many religions, many faiths, if not all of them, teaching Sikhs how to live the principles of Sikhism. That's the Khalsa, including things like remembrance of God, truthful living, and adherence to and an exaltation of the truth of real facts. A huge, huge focus on service to humanity, seva is what it is called, and that too has animated the Sikh faith and the Sikh members of the congregations ever since their lifestyle and their religion began many, many years ago, standing up to tyranny and injustice, also a part of the fundamental tenets of the Khalsa, begun way back in 1699. We know that this happens to fall at the same time that Christians, about the same time, have been celebrating Easter in the wake of that celebration of just last Sunday. Passover, recently celebrated by our Jewish colleagues and friends, boys and girls, men and women. And, of course, Ramadan, still going and coming up soon to an Eid al-Fitr coming up, which marks the end of Ramadan. All of these great religions in the world recognizing, celebrating important times in their faith. Up until this time, Sikhism was a philosophy, a collection of scriptures and set practices. And when the Khalsa was established, ultimately in 1699, it unified and solidified Sikhism into what is today called a collective faith and a religion, and brought the religion together. And again, it became one of the major religions on the face of the planet. It was also important at the time, that is the creation by Nanak, the formulation of the Khalsa a couple of hundred years later, also important because what was happening politically, socially in northern India at that time. Sikhs and people from other backgrounds were facing religious persecution and also unjust treatment by other people who were plainly not Sikhs, people who were even inside of government. And with the establishment of the Khalsa, the Sikhs were more organized, better prepared to fight for their religious freedom and oppose the corruption that unfortunately was being visited upon them. I mentioned before that there are a series of gurus in the Sikh history, 10 altogether. The last of them, the book of the Sikh faith, the Guru Granth Sahib, which is always on display and always used as a part of their services. You can see that too if you go to the Gurdwaras this coming Sunday. Their holy book, the Guru Granth Sahib. Sikhs have developed, of course, an outward appearance. And it was on Vaisakhi that the initiated Sikhs were given this visible identity, frankly, at that time as a mandatory and formal requirement. And the identity, again, under the Khalsa, under the traditions of Sikhism that had been started a couple of hundred years before, Sikhs were meant to stand out and be called upon. Why? For their help, for their assistance. This concept of seva, service, always, always animated what members of the Sikh faith have been all about. The identity comprised of five different religious symbols, and you will see these when you go to the Gurdwaras around the nation and around our state. They're known as the five Ks. They're worn by Sikhs who are adherents to the fundamentals of the faith. The Kesh is called uncut hair, and that symbolizes spirituality, right? The Kanga, K-A-N-G-A, it's a wooden comb signifying cleanliness. There's a kashera, a cotton shorts signifying modesty and self-discipline, also a part of the fundamental beliefs of all Sikhs. The kara, which is a steel bracelet worn on the dominant hand as a reminder to do good deeds. And I will tell you that one of the great honors that I had from the members of the Sikh faiths in southeastern Wisconsin was to be given a kara many years ago, which I still wear on occasion, not only when I'm appearing and present for their wonderful services there, but for other events in my own life on a regular basis. And finally, the kirpan, a small sword that is a reminder to stand up for those in need, to work toward justice, work toward a fundamental notion of the rule of law. So all of those things, all of those important to the celebration of Vaisakhi. Sikhs celebrate this by visiting, of course, their local gurdwara to worship, to meditate, to partake in langar, which is a free community meal. You can get fed at virtually any time that you go to one of the Sikh gurdwaras. It's a meal prepared and served by all gurdwaras, by volunteers. Again, this sense of welcoming to support the community of all men and women. And the notion that when you come together, not only do you come together to worship and to be a part of that community, but we're going to feed you. We're going to keep you well. We're going to keep you healthy. And many Sikhs have said that their favorite aspect and the favorite thing that they enjoy about Vaisakhi is just this notion of being with family and friends and community to meditate and sing in the gratitude of the creation of this faith. And so all of that being celebrated by more than 25 million Sikhs worldwide right now, this weekend, most living in the Punjab region, but also, according to very reliable estimates, about 500,000 Sikhs in the United States, populations around the country, including right here in Wisconsin. Celebrate with all of us Vaisakhi this coming weekend, joyful in that celebration of life and livelihood. As we come back, more about the basic news stories, important news stories animating our lives right here in Wisconsin and throughout our nation.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew details at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to FarmSafe811.org.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 7 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until 1 p.m. Monday. Cloudy skies this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. High of 79, southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely 45. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 62.
Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org.
We are back. This is Saturday, April 15th, 2023. This is our annual, our weekly review and also annual review as we come to the anniversary of our 1 year on the broadcast of stations of Civic Media. We'll be talking a lot about things we've accomplished in this past year. Today, we're talking specifically about some unsung and undiscovered justice out there. But before the break, talking all about Vaisakhi. Before we move on to the major news stories that also animate our discussion this morning, I want to specifically acknowledge once again the deaths that were suffered by the Sikh community. the individuals killed at the time of the attack on the Gurdwara in Oak Creek, August 5th, 2012, Satwan Kaleka, Paramjeet Kaur, Prakash Singh, Sita Singh, Ranjit Singh, Suveg Singh, and Punjab Singh. They all knew about Sikhism plainly. That was their faith. That was their religion. And each of them brought animation and life to all of the things we talked about before the break. And it is significant. The reason why I'm highlighting Vaisakhi and the losses, but also the lives that continue there at the Sikh Gurdwaras in the category of undiscovered justice is because of the things that have happened with and through and by the Sikh faith as a result of that horrific event. They have turned it around into a justice-promoting notion, a justice-promoting concept. And because of the deaths suffered at that time, some significant things happened. Those deaths were not in vain. Obviously, we would much prefer to have all of those people alive, but their deaths, the sacrifices they made at the time, promoted justice in our world, promoted a greater understanding and an appreciation for the rule of law. Because they died, today, our nation's local, state, and federal law enforcement officers measure and record hate crimes with a greater precision that promotes safety and security and well-being for all of us. As a result of their actions, the actions of all Sikhs in the wake of those deaths, our places of adult and youth learning and education and growth in nearly half the states of our union, almost half of them, are now increasingly effectively defining and describing and embracing and telling more complete stories about this great world religion. That's going on today in the wake of what happened on August 5th of 2012. Movements forward in 2022, 2023 here in Wisconsin and throughout our nation, including our Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction, providing teachers of our state with the intellectual foundation and some instructional materials to make learning about Sikhism a greater reality. The collection of Sikh materials on Sikh studies, fiction, nonfiction, that was developed about a year or so ago, now accessible and alive at the Oak Creek Public Library, believed to be one of the great collections, the largest collections, public collections of Sikh materials and Sikh studies in the nation. That also available to you through the Milwaukee Public Library System at the Oak Creek facility. We know as well that employers and landlords and military leaders and healthcare providers, bankers have greater commitments because of what happened, because of the commitment of the Sikh community after the tragedy there on August 5th, greater commitment to the concept of equality and equity and due process and fairness for all people, including those of the Sikh faith. The angry and ugly voices of hate and the terrible acts of inhumanity that unfortunately have been here in Wisconsin and every state of the union are now rightly targeted for condemnation and are pursued by responsible, enlightened people, both within our government and without our government, governments of localities, governments of states, our national government, and this renewed commitment to ensure that the words and the deeds of disaffection and separation, the kinds of messages conveyed by the shooter on August 5th, messages of hate and anger, that those kinds of things are vanquished and they're relegated to the dung heap of human history. All of that happening in the wake of that horrific event. Undiscovered justice this morning on Morning Cannolis, revealed this weekend and every weekend, every day of the week by the Sikh faith, this weekend celebrating Vaisakhi at the local Gurdwaras. This week, as I mentioned, also a time of great additional litigation, both criminal and civil, throughout our nation. As always, we're going to spend some time this morning in our segment in this first hour and also in the next hour as well. It's an ambitious but achievable syllabus, hopefully informative, inspiring. Also, again, traditionally and again this morning, asking the questions, what happened? What do we know? What are the facts of a particular event? What makes them important? Why is it significant that we know about those things? And what, if anything, should we do in response to what we know? Let's begin with one of the news stories that continues to animate the newspapers and the electronic media around our country, and that is having to do with the abortion and a very significant drug when it comes also to miscarriages, mifepristone. We've talked about this a lot in recent weeks and recent days. We continue to talk about it because of the significance of it, not only in terms of the privacy rights that are being the subject of lots and lots of focus by our United States Supreme Court, but because of the access to abortion that continues to be an aspiration for justice by many, many people in our nation. We know that in the past couple of weeks, there have been, frankly, about 8 days or so ago, we had decisions by two federal judges, one of them in eastern Washington, one of them in northern Texas, basically to completely different ends. The Judge Kaczmarek in the northern district of Texas found for the first time in our nation's history, the first time that a federal judge took it upon himself to overrule, if you will, the longstanding decision of the Food and Drug Administration. The Food and Drug Administration that had for about a quarter century been doing testing and analysis and had determined that mifepristone, when it comes to abortion services and also miscarriages, was safe. Not without completely safe, but certainly in the kind of thing that one can rely on. And for that reason, enabling people across our nation, women in particular, to get access to this all-important drug. And for 23 years, that has been the law of the land as a result of what the Food and Drug Administration has done to put its imprimatur on this drug. We know that, again, about 8 days ago, a little bit more than a week or so ago, Judge Kaczmarek in Texas disagreed with that, took it up upon himself to review all of the relevant information, principally in the nature of all of the records from the FDA that supported the safety and security of this drug, and also, as his order indicated, seizing upon some widely discredited reports about how mifepristone is perhaps not safe and not secure, reports that, again, the mainstream medical community has pretty much disregarded. And as a result of his unilateral finding a week ago, Judge Kaczmarek said that the Food and Drug Administration has to withdraw authorization for the use of this drug, and he ordered it to happen nationwide. Nationwide, of course, as I indicated before, all of this in the wake of the decision by the United States Supreme Court in June of last year, finding that there's no longer a privacy right under the Constitution to abortion, and leaving the decision now to all the states, resulting in precisely the patchwork that we anticipated would happen when that decision came out. This event just this past week, the decision out of the Northern District of Texas, plainly deriving directly from that decision in Dobbs, focusing in particular upon a medication used to accomplish abortion, and the judge once again finding that the FDA's sanctioning of that, putting their imprimatur on that, was not valid, basically substituting, for the first time in the history of our nation, a federal judge substituting his or her own judgment for the better judgment and the experience-based conclusions of medical people, healthcare providers, who have looked at this and examined this with great detail for a quarter century. At the same time, as indicated, a judge in the Eastern District of Washington doing just the opposite, granting the requests of about 17 attorneys general, and that from the District of Columbia, who had asked him to make a finding, make a directive to the FDA, that the FDA not in any way pull that drug from common use and accessibility. And so we had for about a week or so these competing decisions by judges in Texas and in Washington. And the question was, what was going to happen there? Well, we know, for example, that in the wake of those decisions, that one of the things that happened was that the U.S. Department of Justice decided to intervene, and indeed they did. At the direction of the Attorney General, his name is Merrick Garland, they went in and they petitioned the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's the circuit that is responsible for, among other federal districts, the districts in Texas, including Northern Texas. They went in to the Fifth Circuit and said, "We are petitioning judges of the Fifth Circuit, this higher tribunal. We're asking you to overturn what the lower court judge did. We're asking you to revisit that and tell him that he was wrong about that, and that the world should be restored to the way it was." Well, we did get, in just the past couple of days, a ruling out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, again, in the southern part of our nation. And this, of course, again, happens a year after the Supreme Court declared it was ending the matter of abortion under the Constitution. And that's what all of this derives from. The appellate ruling from the Fifth Circuit, a divided three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals there, said that the pill, mifepristone, could in fact remain available And that certainly was a victory for those people, all of us who are supportive of medicine and science and the traditions that the FDA has advanced, that mifepristone itself could remain available while the very lawsuit that was brought before the judge filed against the FDA could proceed through the courts. In particular, very significantly, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals blocked a series of steps packaged inside this lawsuit that the FDA took in recent years, basically to ease access to the drug. Those access easing events and steps included allowing the drug to be sent through the mail, through the postal service, and also allowing it to be prescribed by healthcare providers who are not medical doctors. Those two things were the principal things that the FDA had done recently to try to ensure that mifepristone people can get access to it on a regular basis. And in this opinion of just a few days ago, the Fifth Circuit, while again it said that the drug itself could remain available, decided to support the decision of the lower court, finding that those particular steps that the FDA took in recent years to make the drug more accessible, those would have to go. Those would not be a part of their affirmation going forward. And so what happens, of course, is that that's a decision by the appeals court, kind of a split decision, if you will. Certainly good to affirm the general legality of the pill, but basically returning on its head the access issues that were also part of this lawsuit. And so what happens once again, according to the attorney general, he announces, as does the president of the United States of America, Joe Biden says, we're not going to stand silent in the wake of the Texas decision, in the wake of the Fifth Circuit decision. We're going to appeal all of this where? To the United States Supreme Court, which is exactly where you go when you are appealing a decision of an appeals court. And indeed, just Friday afternoon, late in the day, the Supreme Court paused all of this developing legal battle in the district courts and the appellate courts over this abortion pill, mifepristone. Specifically, Justice Alito, who interestingly was the author of the Dobbs opinion back in June, he basically said, we're going to put all this on hold. We're going to stay any further action on this. It doesn't signal which way the court is going to go with respect to the issues raised at the trial court level and also at the appellate court level, but basically says everything will stay in place so that these temporary restrictions that abortion rights advocates are talking about here, that all of those still will continue to go forward in the way that the world had before the decisions. In other words, the specific steps were the focus of the appeals court decision. Those will not be overturned. However, the justices indicated that the parties to this lawsuit on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week will be obliged to file briefs with them, written arguments to the Supreme Court about what should happen here. Who should win? Should the Fifth Circuit's opinion be upheld in whole or in part? Should it be returned in some way for more development? We don't know exactly how the court will review and rule on all of this. It could, of course, restore full access to the pill. It could endorse the restrictions outlined by the appeals court, again, supported by that appellate court decision, or suspend access entirely, as the judge did at the lower court level. And then, of course, the appeal will proceed, probably return to the justices for more matters down the road. All of that happening in the context of privacy rights in America, significant as this issue continues to be debated. When we come back, more important issues and events in the life and livelihood of our nation here on Morning Cannolis. Open up the doors.
Family Natural Foods is proud to serve our wonderful hometown. They are a family-run business committed to providing personal guidance to help customers meet their health goals with reference books, natural supplements, and 75 years of experience. You will find organic, local, grass-fed meat, sustainable seafood, gluten and dairy-free products, fair trade coffee and tea, and essential oils. Come visit Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Hey, Donald Driver here. When I played football, Coach would challenge us to study the playbook and do our best on the field every Sunday. Well, now I'm challenging all of you to buckle up and put your phone down every time you drive your car. Wearing your seatbelt and not being distracted by your phone are the two most important things you can do to prevent or survive a crash. So join the movement to save lives in Wisconsin. Go to zeroinwisconsin.gov and take the pledge to buckle up, phone down, every trip, every time.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Let it slip, it comfort check. Talk to doctor now and share.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManageRBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Storms likely, high of 59. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know.
And we are back. Thank you for once again joining me here on Morning Cannolis. My name is Jim Santel, and we're talking now about some of the major events in the area of law and justice and the promotion of rule of law in our nation. Big story breaking just this past week, and that is that the FBI has arrested a 21-year-old member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard. Did that on Thursday in connection with allegedly, his leak of dozens of highly classified documents. And those documents, according to all reports, contain this array of national security secrets, information not in the public domain, including the focus on the breadth of the surveillance of the United States conducting surveillance of Russia, and also very centrally, issues and information related to the war in Ukraine. This past week, just these past couple of days, Airman First Class Jack Teixeira taken into custody to face charges of leaking these classified documents after federal authorities had witnessed that he had posted batches of this sensitive intelligence to an online gaming chat group. And as reporters, of course, descended upon this issue, finding more about this particular chat group, Attorney General Merrick Garland announced not only the arrest of this young man, but also indicated the focus of it. Said in a brief statement when he was announcing the arrest of Airman Teixeira that first he would be arraigned as he was this past week in federal district court in Massachusetts. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And Garland confirmed that he would be charged and has been charged in connection with the unauthorized removal, the retention and the transmission of classified national defense information, which is a reference, of course, to the Espionage Act, which is traditionally used to prosecute the mishandling and theft of sensitive intelligence. Again, Jack Teixeira brought into custody and brought before a federal district court magistrate just this past week to begin to answer to those charges. What happened during the course of that proceeding? Well, again, brought there because of the U.S. Attorney's Office there, the U.S. Attorney in particular, able to issue a criminal complaint describing, again, in skeletal terms, because this is not yet an indictment, but a criminal complaint that justifies the apprehension, the arrest of Mr. Teixeira, and justifies his continued detention. A little bit of argument about that during the course of the initial proceeding. The magistrate deciding to schedule further proceedings on the issue of detention, on the issue of custody, whether or not Mr. Teixeira should be released. And the questions there is always are about whether or not he poses a risk of flight. He's going to flee. Or, and both of those things, whether he might also pose a risk to the safety and security of the community. And so that issue deferred while that happens, while the decision is not yet made about that. That will be the subject of next Wednesday's proceeding. Mr. Teixeira remains in federal custody, again charged under this criminal complaint process that U.S. attorneys do have the option to make. At some point, as we all know well, a federal grand jury has got to take a look at the information that is assembled by the government, presented there by U.S. attorneys and by assistant U.S. attorneys, and make a decision about whether or not there is probable cause to indict him on a series of charges. We can anticipate that that will probably happen sometime relatively soon, maybe or maybe not before next Wednesday's appearance on this detention and custody issue. But again, significant for a number of different reasons. Why? Well, we know that Teixeira was trained, according to the initial information, as a cyber transport systems specialist. And that's apparently a job that could entail a variety of duties, like keeping the unit's communications networks running. He was assigned, apparently, to the 102nd Intelligence Wing at the Otis Air National Guard Base, which is part of Joint Base Cape Cod. And that, according to the Air Force, that, again, is describing who he was, what kinds of things he did in his role as a member of our military. The 102nd Intelligence Wing's official Facebook page congratulated Teixeira and colleagues on their promotion to Airman First Class as soon as recently as last July. Now, officials would not respond to specific questions about what the airman's duties were and specifically what he was doing, how he has access to slides about the Ukraine war, much less the daily deluge of intelligence reports from our intelligence units like the CIA and the National Security Agency, the Office of National Intelligence. All of those are units at the base that process intelligence collected from drones and U-2 spy planes, all of them agencies that bring together information that Airman Teixeira plainly had access to. So why is all that important? Why am I telling you all of that information that we know so far, even though we don't have great depth and great visibility into every last thing that he did? Well, plainly, couple of important things. Undeniably, according to the Secretary of Defense, there's going to be a review now of the protocols and practices for people in positions like this. But significantly, a spokesman for the Defense Department said yesterday, you know, we already do have many, many protocols in place. Let us make clear, he said, that while those protocols are in place, and they do in fact require the observance by everyone who's employed, everyone who takes the oath of office, everyone required to follow up on those particular protocols, the spokesman made it very clear that this is over and above that. This is apart from that, shockingly and horrifically. Why? Because it's a criminal act. That just because the protocols are there does not prevent people, if they choose to engage in crime, from overcoming and disregarding those protocols. And that's what happened here, at least according to the Pentagon authority. A significant notion when we think about the manner and mechanism by which people engage in criminal conduct. We've got lots of rules and regulations out there, including for classified information, military intelligence. If one decides to purposely, intentionally, knowingly evade those rules and engage in criminal acts, that's when the Justice Department becomes involved. Again, the FBI, certainly military authorities, also a part of this investigation, certainly still being put together for that time relatively soon when this entire package of information will be presented to a grand jury for its review and its analysis in the days just ahead. At that time, the grand jury once again determining whether there is probable cause to indict the airman for specific offenses, again, presumably under the Espionage Act that makes this the unauthorized removal and retention and transmission of classified documents a crime. They'll be looking at all of that, again, upon presentations of evidence and returning into the public domain an indictment alleging with great specificity what he did and presumably how he did it. Could very well be a talking indictment. Could be an indictment that describes in great detail exactly what he did. We know as well that as a part of the investigation, because a lot of the reporters have confirmed this, there was somebody else on this website with him on this exchange that he was engaging in, this trail that he left behind among the group's members, who had sort of bonded apparently during the isolation of the pandemic. One of them indicated that he knew that the leader of this was posting this information. It's through that person on this chat group that the authorities eventually found Teixeira and identified him as the person who placed all of this online. We'll talk more about this as the story develops in the days and weeks ahead. Stay with us for the second hour this morning on Morning Cannolis.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio.